Well, kia ora, hello and welcome to the Coast Vineyard Podcast. Whether you're a regular or a first-time listener, it's so good to have you listening in. We hope and pray that wherever you may find yourself at today, that the message that you're about to hear would be helpful for your journey of faith. So, without further ado, let's get into this week's message.
Hey, well, welcome again. Welcome to church. My name is Matt Lilly, the lead pastor here at Coast Vineyard. And, wow, it's... Certainly good to be up here and to be seeing you all. Just anyway, this morning we are going to be continuing our series on the generous life. I heard this story about generosity this week where there's a bunch of guys and at the golf club after, you know, they played the round of golf down the club rooms, and this guy's phone rings, he answers it, puts on speakerphone, and he's like, honey, I'm just in Newmarket, I've just found this perfect jacket. Like, it just is amazing. It's $1,500, like, but it's amazing. Like, what do you think? And he's like, well, if you really love it, you should get it. And then she said, and the other thing too is that, you know, that car I've had my eyes on just for forever, it's like they've just dropped the price by $5,000. Now it's down to $145,000. The Mercedes, and he's like, well, that's a, if they've dropped the price, you should get it. And anyway, the phone call ends and he holds up the phone and says, whose phone is this? Generosity. So last week we were talking about just being generous with others. And this week, and you knew it was coming, we're going to be talking about money. It's like, okay, so we're going to put guards on the doors so no one can run away. We're going to, it's like... But let me say this, as your pastor, as your spiritual guide, as your friend, it's just so, so important that we figure out together what is best. And like, I want the best for you. I want the best for you. So when we teach and we encourage and we guide and we challenge you, it's not because we want something from you, it's because we want something for you. It's not because we want something from you. We want something for you. We want you to be living your best life. And your best life is found when we trust our life into God's hands. When we trust our life into God's hands, we surrender all of our life, our ambitions, our resources, our relationships, our health, our hopes. Our best life is found when we pray that the prayer that Jesus prayed on the cross. He says, not my will, but yours be done. You know, as he's leading up to the cross, not my will, but yours be done. And we turn to the scriptures to guide us. Our scriptures are divinely inspired by the Spirit of God, and they guide us into knowing God, how to put God first, how to live God's ways, and to learn wisdom for faith and life. Okay? And our scriptures talk a lot about money. Why do they talk a lot about money? Because money is a tool that has such potential to help us into the abundant life that Jesus promises us, a life with peace and joy and love. But it's also got this potential to turn our life into something different, to turn our hearts hard, turn our hearts cold, turn our hearts where we become people who are selfish and takers and closed. And if when people have that kind of posture in life and it's magnified over their whole life, it's just hard to see. It's horrible to see, and it's horrible to be. There's this very, very wise scripture that talks about money and evil. Money and evil. And it's often misquoted or misunderstood. So people hear money is evil. And that's never the case. Money's just a thing, like all things. It's just like a tool. And it can be used well or it can be used properly. We can have good attitudes towards it or bad. But the scripture says this, 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. It says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. The love of money is a big problem. And because of, you know, what I do, and in my role as a pastor, and with journeying with people through life and challenges and seasons, I have seen people wander from their faith and pierce themselves with many griefs. And it's hard. But they choose instead the easy path, or they get fooled by the enticements of the world. And as your pastor and as your friend, I want to guide you away from a life pierced with grief. So I don't want you to love money, because it can lead to just bad stuff. So getting your heart in the right posture, in a godly place regarding money, it leads to life. And you may say, oh, it's easy for you, Matt. Like, you know, you've bought yourself a house, and which is different than owning your house, because the bank, you know, there's this whole thing where, but you know, you say, oh, but Matt, you've got a job and you get paid, and it's like, yeah, it's true. But like, I have to say this too, that like, for my wife, Justin and I, like, we've known seasons in our life of poverty. We've had seasons in our life where we've visited food banks to go and get help. But what we have also tried to do in the midst of all seasons is to have this posture of generosity. And I know that for us, and like for many of you, like I know so many of your stories, I know many of you have, you know, you do the same. You place yourself in this position of choosing to trust God and have a posture of generosity. And you've got stories of God's faithful provision in your life. George Muller is this incredible guy from England, incredible man of God, Christian man, lived in Bristol in the 19th century, and just a man of just incredible faith. He started orphanages, and he always just trusting God would provide. Looked after, I think, over 10,000 orphans. Over his life, just incredible. But he said this, I love this, says, and hopefully this will inspires me. When I surrendered myself totally to God, the love of money was gone. The love of a home was gone. The affection of wealth was gone. The love of worldly things was gone. God has become my everything. I found everything in him, and there is nothing else I wanted. And I stayed with him, a happy man, a very happy man, seeking to only accomplish the things of God. Let's pray. God, we pray, God, open our hearts to what you would have speak to us. I know this, like, money, every one of us has to deal with money. We've got money coming in and money going out, and we've got, like, worries about money, or there's pressures about money, and there's uncertainties, and we've got postures and attitudes and around money, and we just pray by your Spirit would speak to each of us today. Just speak to us. Just encourage us in a journey into life around and with our attitudes and our heart and our posture with regards to money. Because we know that your ways are the ways that lead to life, God. So we open our hearts, we say yes to your voice this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So you're probably saying, well, Matt, how do I prevent being someone who loves money? Like, what do I do? Because, like, what do I do? The antidote to the love of money is generosity. You know, we're in this series, The Generous Life. The antidote to the love of money is generosity. The wisdom of Scripture is that we cultivate a generous heart. We cultivate a generous heart. We have this posture of giving and not taking, of being open with what we have and not tight-fisted. And I love, if you just recently joined with us, we've got this very cool Facebook page. It's called the Coast Community Facebook page, just for people within our church. And I just love the way that people are often just, they'll either put something like, hey, does anyone have something? I just need this. I can't afford it. Or the other way around, some people are saying like, hey, I've got this thing to give away if anyone would like it. And it's just this beautiful thing of seeing generosity and flow and people being looked after. I love that. I love, you know, when you hear of needs within the church, there's just so many generous hearts here. And on the other side too, I get like, I feel sad when people respond to opportunities to be generous with fear, because like I can't do that. And there's this phrase that some of you may have heard of. It's it's called the poverty spirit. The poverty spirit. And you go like, well, what is that? It's like, and it's like it's not even a. It's just a, some words that someone gave us. But it's a, that around this again, it's. It's given to a heart posture for people that don't trust that God will look after us. They just have this fear that I'm always going to be in poverty, but they just don't trust that God will look after us. So that you live in this place of fear that you won't have enough. And because of that, you do everything you can to prevent poverty, thinking that, and that looks like I've got a grab and I've got to hold and I've got to not let it go. You hold desperately to what you have because you feel like if I let it go, I could end up in poverty. And you may see this a lot with a classic example of this. You see it in a lot of economically challenged countries where people that come from very poor backgrounds, not all the time, but you see it a lot where people come from poor backgrounds and they end in a position of power and authority in government. And while they're there, they are just, their whole focus is how do I grab money for my family, for me, for us. And you see that in some countries in extremes about how the country is just impoverished and the leaders of those countries are living in, you know, incredible things, and you hear in palaces, and you hear about their bank accounts, and it's just like you could see what that because they've got the power of the country's money, they grab. You will have seen that, eh? You see that. So, and it's just that thing of like I've got to get it while I can. So here's like a weighty question for you. Do you trust that God will look after you? Something that, you know, only you can answer. Do you trust that God will look after you? Which is different than trusting that God will give you all the cool stuff that you want. Hey, like, you know, like, well, God, like, if I'm going to reach my jet skiing friends for you, like... I need a jet ski. But no, do you trust that God is going to look after you? Things that, like, we're in a country where no one's poor. I mean, I know that there's a poverty line, but no one in New Zealand is thinking today, am I going to starve? This week, are my kids going to starve this week? Starve to death? Are my kids going to starve to death? No one's thinking that in New Zealand. You know, we as a country, you know, like we have more than 95% of the planet in terms of what we have, and yet we still worry. We're still scared to be generous. We still potentially, for some of us, have this poverty spirit. We've got Isabel as our ministry assistant this year, which is amazing. Yeah, that's the Isabel fan club that's out there. And Isabel finished her university degree last year, and as she was finishing last year, she was saying like, "I'm just so looking forward to be earning." after being a student for so long. And yet she just, over the summer, she's just feeling this nudge from the Spirit of God to say, you know, like, study, learn, grow, have spent a year just, you know, serving God in this way, which has meant that, you know, it's just, so she's just got a part-time job, you know, she does, you know, she's lots of study, lots of ministry experience. But the thing is that she's trusting that God will provide. Even just this week, this week coming, she's going to be going to a spiritual formation program at Great Barrier Island. And there's a cost associated with that. And she's just like, I can't afford it. But then she's going like, I feel like this is what God's wanting me to do. And so she's just trusting. And some money's coming a little bit. Yeah, hopefully. I'm not sure if it's all of it. But sorry, it's not an advertisement. But she's just there in the front room. But, you know, this is the lesson that Jesus wanted his disciples to learn. If you, those of you that read through the Gospels, there was that time when Jesus sent the disciples out two by two to go into the towns to tell them about that the kingdom of God was at hand, teach them about the good news and the love of God. And he said, go and all you take is sandals on your feet. It's quite an interesting spot here, right? Every time I sort of go, it's like, just disappears. And Jesus sent them out two by two. He basically said, go with nothing. And, you know, and it was a season when he was wanting them to learn that God will look after you. Like, it wasn't for their whole life that they had to go with nothing town by town. It was just a season because Jesus was wanting to teach them that, like, you will be looked after. You will be looked after. So much wisdom of God's ways and scriptures. This is Proverbs 11:24. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And I love this in the Message Bible, the way it says that same verse. It says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. And that's what we're talking about. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, and those who help others are helped. All right, I'm going to share some things about money. The thing is, like I say, there is that the Bible talks about money in so many different angles, so many different places, so many things. So what do we talk about when we're talking about this? I just felt like a few things just to throw out there for you guys today. And some wisdom, some wise counsel that sort of help us on the journey. And the first thing I would really encourage you when it comes to this whole thing of like figuring out your money is get some advice. Get some advice of people that are really, really smart. John Wesley, who's the founder of the Methodist movement, incredible guy, 18th century preacher, British evangelist, and he said this. He said, earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. And that's some good advice. That's some good advice right there. But then you think, well, how much can I, you know, if you're thinking, yeah, but like, how much can I save and how much can I give and how much can I earn? And I can't really save or give because the repayments on the Ferrari are really high, you know. Like, it's just, you know, one of the best things that you can do in your journey with money is to actually get some advice around setting budgets. Around setting, but very, very practical. Getting some, I remember, like, I've talked to so many people when they first got married and that have either, I've either encouraged them to get budgeting advice or they have done that. And every one of them says, oh my goodness, thank you so much. Like, that is like, I thought I kind of got understood stuff like this, but this, well, I just learned some stuff that was just so, so helpful. Like, I didn't know that there was such smart advice out there around money stuff. Like, seriously, like, I would strongly encourage you to talk to people and get some, but it doesn't matter what age and stage you're in life, budgeting advice. And I'm still like learning from people. It's just like, how do I do this or how do I do that? And one of the cool things at Coast Vineyard here is that we have people here that are trained and are just experts in this sort of stuff. And they are, so we do CAP courses, which are budgeting courses, but they'll also do, like, if you want to do some one-on-one stuff, like talking through your situation and figure some things out, they just so love doing that because they value that. They see how freeing and helpful that is. So, like, I would hope that my inbox will be full of emails this week saying, like, I'll be up for getting some budgeting advice. So that you can figure this out, like how I can earn all I can, how I can save all I can give all I can. We've got a CAP course coming up in May if you want to look out for that. Okay, change tack a little bit on something else about money for you guys. Okay, generosity, I can't remember what the title was of the next thing. Generosity is proof of faith. And you're going like, what? Okay, so this is like, generosity proves that your faith is real. And you go like, what are you, okay, what's going on here? There's some sobering words from Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, and it basically presents this question, is your faith real? And says one way to see if it is real is by seeing if you have a generous heart. Yeah, really? Did I read that? Listen, okay. It's the story of the sheep and the goats. When Jesus is talking about when I come again, and there's going to be the separation of mankind. There's going to be the sheep on one side and the goats on the other side. I don't know what the goats, why the goats are, get, they're the bad guys. The goats are the bad guys and the sheep are the good guys. The sheep are those who will inherit the kingdom of God, but they're identified through evaluating their generosity. The generous inherit the kingdom of God. And for those that aren't, listen, Matthew 25:41, words of Jesus. Then he will say to those on his left, it's the goats, the bad guys, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's some strong words, eh? For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. And they will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. And then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. It's a picture of, if your faith is real, it will impact your generosity. When we surrender our lives to God, it's everything, and it can't help but affect our posture towards our stuff. We become generous. And if we aren't generous, we have to take these verses seriously. Are we really following Jesus? Is my eternity at risk? Challenging words from Jesus. It's not a piece of... put a little barrier on that corner, right, to keep me away. Another piece of wisdom for you, and this is for the generous, a warning for the generous. Remain pious. That's an old-fashioned word, eh? Remain pious. There's some great counsel. I've got this beautiful book, which was written by Gregory the Great, who was a 7th century pope of... And he was also the leader of the Rome. Anytime you see some of these leaders from Rome, and I've got the great after their name, is because they were such incredible leaders that they were invited to both lead the church and Rome. So Gregory the Great wrote a book called Pastoral Care, which was handed out to pastors of the church, ministers of the church for 1,000 years. after he wrote it. Just everyone got a copy. And he's just got this great bit of wisdom for people who are generous. He said, well, and some a challenge for them. He says, remain pious. He says this, for the already generous, those who have compassion and give away what is their own are not to become conceited and rate themselves above those on whom they bestow earthly goods. The generous don't often get warnings in our shoes, do they? So, acknowledge that you have been appointed by the heavenly Lord to be the dispensers of temporal means and to display humility the more. And when you consider that you are appointed for the service of others on whom you bestow what they have received, pride must not on any account inspire your minds with vanity, but on the contrary, fear should hold them down. And the expectation of thanks must not creep into your minds. So for those of you, and I look around, there's many generous people here. It's just a good warning for us, isn't it, that we should guard our hearts against pride. I read something this week which I loved, and it said that, you know, Jesus was a do-something preacher. He was a do-something preacher. He would be often teach about God and teach about how the love that God has for us, teach about the kingdom of God, and then he'd tell us to do something. He's a do-something preacher. So here's some things I want to quickly rattle through. Again, if you're the sort of person that goes like, well, if, you know, got any help, got any tips? Here's some input for you guys to consider around this whole thing of money. Okay, to help us to cultivate generosity. Okay, first thing, read the scriptures. Read the scriptures. Anyone got a Bible?
Yeah.
Three. Okay. Just get another Christian bookstore, black cover. But read the scripture with a posture of yes, Lord. Read the scripture with the posture of yes, Lord. Okay? And then, because you'll see money just about talked about on every page. Like you go through the book of Acts, which is the story of the early church. Every page, money. Money's talked about in all sorts of, and it's just so... Like, God, what would you say to me as we read through this? Bible talks about tithing, which is giving away a tenth of your income. Well, that'd be a good one to ever read. And say, God, what would you say to me about that? Well, you know, it talks about giving you a tenth of your income to the house of God. So, ooh, that'd be a good one. Read what it says about helping the poor, about lending your stuff. And here, the Bible tells you how to get rich. The Bible tells you how to get rich. Who wants to know that one? No one wants to know that one. Yeah, okay. Okay. If you want to know that, just read the Bible and it's there. I'm not going to tell you. It does tell you how to get rich. Second thing, develop a posture or an attitude of when you get a opportunity to be generous coming towards you, choose to say, why shouldn't I, instead of why should I? Okay? Why shouldn't I? If the thought comes into your head, oh, I could pay for my friend's lunch. Ask, well, why shouldn't I? Instead of why should I? I just had lunch with my newly engaged nephew on Friday. And I was halfway through lunch, I was thinking like, I'm going to pay for lunch for him. And we went downstairs and he'd already done a little sneaky and he'd paid for my lunch. So I was thinking, so then I said, I was going to pay for lunch. Then I was thinking like, oh, this is amazing. I'm getting credit for like saying I was going to, and then I didn't even have to. Remain biased, yeah. But you know, like, what do you do when you see someone begging on the street? Why shouldn't I? Or is it, why should I? Why shouldn't I? If you get an invitation as you came in this morning to sponsor someone, help our youth get to Easter camp, sponsor some people to go to Easter camp that can't afford to go, you know, well, why shouldn't I? Someone comes to you, it's like, can I borrow your chainsaw? It's like, oh, that's when you really know you're getting into Christian maturity when you say yes to let someone borrow your chainsaw. Why shouldn't I? Another thing that I would encourage you is to keep choosing to trust God. You have to choose to trust God, and you have to keep choosing to trust God. God will provide for you. Look at the truth. Lock the truth of this in with your head and your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it's a big chunk of scriptures all about money and giving and things, but it says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God will look after you. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The whole universe is set up so that by God, so that those that give receive, that those that give are blessed by God. Blessings that aren't available for the selfish. Another thing for you, and like you're probably thinking, like you would have thought this probably as soon as we started talking about money, you go, I know what he's going to say. He's going to tell me that we need to give money to the church. Of course I'm going to tell you to give money to the church. Of any place, if you wanted to be generous with your finance, like I just, the church that is the family of God, the hope of the world, the place where so much life happens, where people find God, they're encouraged into faith. There's so much stuff that happens for all of our kids and our youth and everything. And it requires resources to be able to see ministry flourish amongst us. And it's like, man, it's always been the place I want to give money to the church. And so, yes, give to your church. And just so grateful that for so many of you that do that. Many of you give, but then many of you don't as well. And I'd encourage you, like we're family. Come on, we're family. This is the thing that we do together. Figure this out. Like that, you know, like how, what does this look like for you? Being part of the family together, sowing in, allowing, you know, the ministry of God to happen in this place. And trust that you're giving to God, you know, your giving will be fruitful both in our church and our community, but also in you. Last thing just to throw out, and then we'll pray together. Look, it's just really important that when it comes to this whole thing of generosity, that you get into patterns and rhythms of giving something. You might go, well, I'm a university student, I'm poor as. And yes, you probably are. But like, it's just so important that you give something. You know, like my mortgage is killing me. I get it. Like, I'd encourage you to get some budgeting advice around and get some wisdom around there. There's all sorts of cool things that can help you. But again, give something. I love it when I see our high schoolers and our uni students choosing to just cultivate that generosity, because I know that this is going to help steer them away from the love of money, which will pierce people with many griefs. And instead, they're going to step into a life that's going to be more peaceful and more joyful. You know, I love it. I see people coming in, like last week they put up the Easter camp fundraiser, and you see people just walking this, go straight over and just like, you know, grab a little card. Yeah, I'll donate $100. They take a little card with $100 on it. I just checking that, like you know, that's like you are choosing to give $100. Like you haven't won $100. Okay, I'm just okay. Love that. Love people. Having that heart of just wanting to give, because whoever sows generously reaps generously, and whoever sows sparingly reaps sparingly. So let me finish with this. One of the best things that you can do about money is have a sincere, real, honest conversation with Jesus about it. As people of faith, have a conversation with Jesus about it. Find a quiet place, go for a walk on the beach or somewhere in your house, and just say, God, I want to cultivate a generous heart. Like, what does this look like for me? And be really open as best you can to be just guided by the Spirit in your thinking, and and bring that to God. You know, like, because this money thing is such a big deal. And you might be someone, oh, but Matt, like, I've watched my parents struggle their whole life around money, and money, it's just a hard thing for me. And, you know, like, oh, but I'm struggling to make ends meet. Friends, again, I want us to be a people that are free from the love of money. Free from the love of money. You know, so I would hope that we can say that, like, I want to be a giver, not a taker. I want to be, I know, because I know that I will reap what I sow. God, change my heart, give me faith, and I trust that you will look after me. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's message. We hope and pray that it's been most helpful. If you are keen to find out a little bit more about us as a church whānau, or you'd like to touch base, then you can go to coast.org.nz, and there you'll find information about our in-person services, online services, various resources and activities. Enjoy the day and be blessed.